So for those of you that don't know me, I know most of you, there's a few faces I don't recognize there. But I'm Dr. Brian Walsh. I'm a chiropractor. I was an engineer for 10 years and jumped ship, and chiropractor helped me out, so I went back to school, and now I'm a bioengineer, I call myself, because I work on people, right? But one of the reasons I did this talk is because, like, for the past year or two, there's been a lot of buzz about this whole CBD thing, right? Mm-hmm. And there's some confusion. Is it legal? Is it not legal? Is it going to get you high? All these different questions, right? And then even questions about, like, how well it works, right? And so we're going to talk about some of that because it is confusing. Because I've been, like, researching this for, like, 3 or 4 years, and I'm still not happy with the state of where it is in terms of being used medicinally. I do like to start off my talk with this quote, because it kind of embodies us, kind of how we feel. It says, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame and diet and in the cause and prevention of disease." Right? That's a very holistic look at things, and that was Thomas Edison, right? 100 years ago, he made that statement. Because he saw the importance of the human frame, that needed to work well to function well, that diet was very important, and that preventing things was very important. And so, excuse me, we're going to talk about some of those concepts throughout. So, how long do people think that the CBD has been known about? Does anybody have an idea?
A long time.
Yeah. Since the 40s. They actually knew about it since the 40s, because they were able to isolate it from hemp at the time, and they started researching it. They really didn't know kind of what to do with it yet, but then they continued researching it. And somewhere around the 1980s or so is when they started using it for epilepsy, and we're getting some fairly good results for that. And but it still wasn't widely known and used. In general, there was still a lot of research stage, basically. There's a system that's involved with this, and I'll say it once or twice. It's a big word, but it's called the endocannabinoid system, right? And that's a system in your body that they didn't even know it was there until the early 90s, which is pretty cool. But the reason why the CBD and THC and all these things work is because of that part of your body. And that part of your body, I'll just call it the ECS for short, is like a master regulator. It helps regulate your brain, your nervous system, your immune system, your digestive system. So it has a huge impact into how the body works. And that's why, like, if you look at some of the claims for CBD, it sounds like snake oil, right? Mm-hmm. It'll help this, it'll help that, it'll help this. Well, it's because you have receptors for these CBD molecules on, like, the majority of your body parts. So it can influence many different parts of the body. And so that's why it can help a very broad range of health conditions. But like I said, there's still, in my opinion, a lot of research that needs to be done. One of the things that people say, well, how is hemp different from marijuana? Right? Because that's kind of, some people don't want it to have anything to do with marijuana. So marijuana and hemp are part of the cannabis family, right? You've heard the term cannabis before. Those are just two plants in the cannabis family. And how they differ is how they're cultivated and grown. So they mostly get the CBD oils or products from the hemp plants because they've kind of been harvested for that. And they've been grown so that what they call the CBD content is very high and the THC is very low. Whereas in the marijuana, it's the exact opposite. They grow it specifically for the THC to be high and the CBD to be low. And the THC, if you guys remember, is the part that gets you high, basically, right? And that has one of the biggest effects on the brain and the nervous system. For the most part, CBD oils and, you know, that product will not get you that high feeling. It still interfaces with your brain and can help your brain work better and the nervous system, but it doesn't have what they call the psychoactive component. So that's two distinctions just right off the bat. The THC from marijuana mostly has psychoactive, gonna get you high. It has lots of other properties that are good. cancer being one of them. But the CBD is more, it regulates many other parts of the body more, and it doesn't have that psychoactive get you high effect. Right now, currently, CBD is legal in all states, as long as the THC content is not higher than like 0.3%. So, and that's basically what's on the market. If it's more than that, then you actually have to have the legal marijuana, right? You have to go through a physician to get the legalized marijuana if you get higher contents than that. And when someone gets prescribed like the legalized marijuana, they're going through a doctor because it's really the THC content, right, that they're kind of after at that point, and that has to be regulated by a doctor. So if someone's taking what they call medical marijuana, then that's what they're doing. They're going to a dispensary, they have to have a doctor's prescription, and they're really going for that psychoactive component for the brain. It can help very much with the digestive system. People that are going through chemo can be helped quite a bit with the THC, some with the CBD, but a little more with the THC. And but they do have a synergistic effect that we'll talk about too. So the reason why these things worked, I mentioned that endocannabinoid system, and there's these two big receptors they found that kind of drive that whole thing that's in our body. And it's called CB1 and CB2. And so these are just terms you may hear coming across this stuff. And but it's why these things work. And these receptors, I mentioned they're in the immune system, the musculoskeletal system, the brain, the digestive system, your heart, regulates appetite and pain, all these different things. The CB1 is the one that's more affected with your brain and nervous system. So that's the one where the THC, the marijuana, is going to have more of an effect on the CB1. The other one, CB2, that is more relegated towards the immune system, anti-inflammatory effects in the body that regulate that in your body. And that's where the CBD oils and things tend to impact those more on what they call the CB2 receptors. But both of them can impact the other. It's just in general, that's kind of how it looks. So if you see those terms, you know, hopefully you won't be quite as confused about what they mean. But those are why the CBD works and why it works on so many parts of your body, because you've got these receptors everywhere, and they can interface with those receptors, that CBD, and make you feel good or bad, depending on the person. And those, the CBD, THC, there's another one, CBN, they're like three of possibly more than 100 of these different molecules that come from hemp and marijuana and all that stuff. So that's why, even though it was discovered like in the 40s, it's still in the infancy, in my opinion, for research and application to like a general practice type thing. So that someone could recommend these on a regular basis and say, this works for that, and this works for that, and this doesn't work for that. Because right now there's no way that I'm aware of, testing wise, that says you're deficient in these things. And that's really what needs to be, that's where the research, in my opinion, needs to go, is because the CBD oils and stuff, if any of you have tried them, they're not inexpensive. As supplements go, they are on the higher end of cost for natural supplements. So, you know, you'd prefer not to spend your money on something, a lot of money, that's not going to work. So one of the areas that I'd love to see is some form of testing method that could say you are deficient in these particular things, these CBD, all these different receptor problems, and you may benefit greatly from this stuff. Whereas if someone wasn't deficient in those things, most likely they're not going to be as much benefit for the person, you know, especially if someone has a really serious problem like cancer or something else that's pretty bad, some brain issues or the seizures that I mentioned that they used it for in the beginning. So the different applications I mentioned, so pain, there are some people that have been able to get off opioids by using this stuff. It's a slow process, but it can be beneficial for that. It takes time, and then we'll talk about the dosing a little later. But because of the effect it has on the pain receptors, it can be very beneficial long-term for chronic pain people.
Would that be CB1 or 2?
That would be, it's actually both. But the CBD1, a CB1 is more so for the pain because it affects the brain and the nervous system, the nerves. And that's why THC can be have more of a pain regulating effect on people than the CBD by itself at lower doses. But unfortunately, for the most part, you will have that psychoactive. Some people don't like the high feeling, you know, so that might be.
Parkinson's disease. I saw a little video of a woman, and then when she, did she call it cannabis oil? But she was in England. So I don't know if that would be this, you know, what level the THC would be,
Correct, right.
but it did stop her shaking.
Yeah, most likely that had the THC. Most likely. Because you're gonna get like more bang for your buck. And they usually combine the THC with the CBD because you get a better effect that way.
So it does help.
It can, yep. Yeah. Because it works on the brain and the central nervous system. So yep, it can definitely help for that. They found that it helps with immune system problems. So sometimes people with autoimmune conditions may be helped with the CBD. That's more on the CBD side than the THC side. But that's another area because it has receptors on the immune system that could be also a beneficial place for it. Sleep is a biggie because of the effect it has on the brain and the nervous system. That's probably one of the bigger uses, I think, right now that CBD is being used for besides aches and pains. Huh?
That's more the CBD1.
Well, it could be either for that. It depends on the person and where they're missing something. But the CBD can work on both of those receptors we talked about. It's just the THC works on the one more, CBD1. Most like retail places aren't going to tell you know, it's more effective for CB1 or CB2 because they don't go into that depth. But this is just like kind of just to help educate you so you're more informed, you know, about making decisions. I mentioned the possibility of there's especially overseas, they're using the THC with the CBD and for cancer cases. Some cases that have like totally been reversed using this stuff. But it's usually higher concentrations and a fair amount of it because they're like trying to use a bigger hammer type thing in those instances. They're not doing as much research here yet on that whole cancer thing. For children, like ADHD type things, the only caution I have with children is that children still have developing brains and nervous systems and stuff, so we're really not sure how it's going to affect them long term. So like that would never be my first choice if I was using this product for a child. There's many other things you can do to try to help them get better when it comes to ADHD and that kind of thing, but it has shown being helpful for that. And that would just be on the CBD side, not the THC. But it has been beneficial for some kids that, like, even the drugs aren't working good. So these are things that are alternatives, but not necessarily, you know, an end-all solution. Anxiety and depression is another area that it's shown lots of benefit because of the effect it has on the brain and the central nervous system and calming things down. You know, just think about that system I mentioned, the endocannabinoid system is. Things that are too high, it helps bring them down. Things that are too low, it helps bring them up. So it's like this master regulator. And the better that system works, the healthier you are, actually, in general, and the less health problems you have. And we'll talk about why that goes out of balance in the first place. I mentioned cancer patients, you know, use this for nausea and stuff. It can be incredibly beneficial for that. That's usually more on the THC side. But the CBD can be as beneficial too, but the THC gets more bang for your buck when it comes to the nausea and the brain stuff. So that's just like the wide variety. It's lots of things. It can impact lots and lots of things because of all the receptors everywhere in your body. And the question is then, like, how much, what kinds? Because there are a lot of these things on the market now, and sometimes you're not even sure if you're getting what they're saying is in there. But things to look out for. There's different types. There's what they call isolates, which is just like the CBD molecules have been concentrated down more, and it's more just the CBD stuff itself in some kind of carrier oil. Others will have what they call the whole extract technique where, in addition to the CBD that's in the hemp, they have these, there's these other molecules like terpenes and flavonoids that they believe have a synergistic effect with the CBD. So sometimes someone might not do as good on the extract, but they'll do better on the whole extract instead of just the CBD by itself. And then some people might be vice versa. They might do better on just the CBD extract and not the whole extract. And each party, each retailer or whatever will tell you theirs is the best, right? Because that's the kind of the ones they promote. But what I found in just a little bit I've used of it in practice is that there's a lot of variation in how people respond to this stuff. Some people respond beautifully, some people not at all. And so
Are you able to tell with your muscle testing which ones are going to be effective for you?
that's what I've been using. Until they come up with some test that shows us, a saliva test or a blood test about who people might benefit more, I'd just use the muscle testing that will demonstrate at the end. There's two others that I'm using. I've tested. They just came out with theirs a couple few months ago, but unfortunately, their product is not just CBD. They've got two other products in there, so you're really not testing the CBD by itself, unfortunately, with that product. It's a good product, but there's two other things in there. So are they benefiting from the two other things or the CBD? There's one called Genesis 129, CBD oil. That's an isolate. And then Functional Remedies is a company that's been around for a long time, and they make the whole extract type thing. He's been in it for a long time. His father was a hemp farmer. But what people don't realize is hemp has been used for probably hundreds and thousands of years for to make clothes, and everything. So it's been around a long time for industrial and clothing uses. It's just in since the 50s, 60s that they started using it medically. There's extraction methods that you have to be careful about. CO2 extraction is kind of one of the better ones. The good thing about it is that it's most, for the most part, solvent free. Because when they do these extraction methods to get that active stuff out of the hemp, especially in the beginning, they were using these different extraction products that are toxic by themselves, right? And then they would try to distill that out at the end. Well, there's still the possibility there's residue of that stuff, right, in the final product. So the CO2 extraction is a better method, definitely. There's another method called lipid infusion, which is a little different. It's supposed to be even cleaner than the CO2. But in the beginning, they were using several techniques, but because the public is getting more education and understanding, I think they're going to be dropping those other techniques off eventually. Because the better the technique of extraction and the less toxic stuff in the end product, the more expensive it gets to do it, right? And so these other extraction techniques that don't cost as much, they can make the product cheaper, but it could be more toxic. So if you're someone that's really sensitive to things and there's some small amount of an alcohol extract or something in there that causes you to react negatively to it, and then you brush off the CBD because you got sick, but it was really the solvent that they used to extract it that made you sick. So these are just things to look at. I mentioned the whole plant. They come in a variety of different applications now. A lot of times it was just the oil, but now they've got capsules, they've got gummies, they got all different methods they're trying to do this with. And the only problem when you start going away from the capsules and the oils and stuff is it may be not strong enough. Like if you're doing a gummy, to get your CBD, it just may not be strong enough to do the job. It may be okay for like a teen or someone that doesn't need as much, but for the most part, you just have to be careful about the amount that you're getting in these products because they sound like they'd be good, but they just might not be enough to do anything for you.
So how is dosing handled,
Yeah,
Dr.
we're gonna
Are you going to cover
look
that?
at that. Actually pretty almost next actually. So there's several factors when it comes to that. So the concentration of it is a big deal because you'll see these bottles that say 350 milligrams, 500 milligrams, whatever it is. And that's telling you the amount of the CBD in that entire bottle, right? That's usually what that means. And so the higher the number, so if you have 1,000 milligram, and the bottles being the same size, if you've got a 500 milligram one and 1,000, they're the same size. That 1,000 is twice as potent for the amount. So you only have to take 2 drops, you know, instead of 4 drops if you were comparing the two. So the concentration does matter that way. Typically, from a cost standpoint, the higher the concentration, they end up costing a little less, even though it's expensive for a bottle. Because when you get the higher concentrations, you don't have to take as much. And they usually give you a price break when at the higher concentrations. So the concentration matters. The size of the person, right, is going to be a big factor. Something that you really can't account for is the person's individuality of biochemistry, right? Because we're all different. And some person might only need 5 milligrams to get an effect, and someone needs 50 to 100 milligrams to get an effect. So, and that's part of my frustration as trying to use this in practice, is that it's not well-defined yet enough, in my opinion. And because of the expense, you just, you know, it's not something you experiment with a lot because it's expensive, you know. The other thing that matters is the chronicity of the condition. You know, is this something that just happened, or they've been sick for years? Do they have cancer? Is it a chronic condition for 20 years, and, you know, they haven't been able to sleep for 20 years? And there's usually more that's going to be needed in that case. There are some things where they have like body weight and milligrams. I don't know that that's that effective. Typically what we have people do is we have people start with like 10 to 20 milligrams a day to start out with, because for most people that's a good safe dosage. Like I said, there are some people that if you give them too much, they'll over respond to it and they won't feel good. So 10 to 20 milligrams a day of the CBD, and then you wait at least a couple weeks usually before adding more. Then you would do another 10 to 20 for another week, and so you just start increasing that until you get what we call the least effective dose. You know, the least amount that gets the job done. It's kind of that.
It's a dumb question, but I have some oil. I guess I thought you put it on yourself topically. You take it internally?
Yes, so you can do both. There are people that, and that's another point. They have like salves now and lotions, you know, that have the CBD in it. Sometimes those help, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're just not strong enough. So for some people, like with an acute neck pain or something, putting a drop or two of the oil directly on the spot of the stuff you would take internally can be very effective. Because
so
it gets right to the point.
So oils, I can take it internally, and it's not going to hurt.
Yes, as long as it's the...
Topically.
Well, they make ones that are only to be applied topically, and then those you would not take internally. So, but the ones you take internally are safe to apply topically.
Okay.
So, yeah, you just can't do the other way around because
yeah.
They have additives and stuff or lotions that you wouldn't want to eat. So that's kind of the basic thing that I use, 10 to 20 milligrams, usually of the 500 milligram dose, or the potency, I should say, and start from there. And then there's some people that will require the higher potencies to get the job done, but that's a fairly safe way to ratchet your way up to get to, usually most people, if it's on a really bad condition, are gonna feel something between 20 to 50 milligrams of the stuff, depending on the condition.
Feel something. What does that mean?
Well, whatever thing they're dealing with. Yeah, like if they're having sleep problems, then they're gonna sleep better. If they're anxious, then their anxiety is going to start dropping down. So it's depending on whatever their condition is, their specific condition. Because there's no way to measure right now that I'm aware of,
right,
of that we're raised their
THC,
levels.
Are you talking mood altering?
Well, for the CBD and the THC, it's only 0.3%. So hardly anyone is going to have any kind of a
mood altering effect
thing that way.
Unless they do the medicinal marijuana.
Correct.
It has the higher content of THC.
Correct. Yes, very much.
More
definitely. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. But the CBD can help that anxiety feeling more.
Are there detrimental effects of effects that, you know, might be permanent or...
Not that I'm aware of in terms of permanence, but any, because it's a product and it has a medical effect on the body, people have negative reactions to the stuff, because especially if they don't need it. And it affects different receptors, and so just like a drug, when people take a drug and it has an intended use, but it also affects other receptors in the body, and that's why they get a side effect. That can happen with any herb or natural thing. It's just less likely to happen because they're safer in general.
So you already mentioned toxicity, and you know the big bill that just came out with medical marijuana in the state of Florida is to watch for the pesticides and the herbicides that are being used. How do you ensure that the product you're using is not infected with that?
Yeah, so there are several growers in the U.S. that are certified organic for the hemp. And I'm not sure where it stands with the THC, with the marijuana. I'm not sure if there's organic growers for that's medical marijuana, because I can't dispense that, and so I've never researched what their source is.
So is your CBD source then from an organic
Correct.
Source?
Correct, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, very, really recommend it.
Because we live in the California part time, there are organic growers out there.
For the marijuana?
For the marijuana.
Okay. I mean, I figured it would because it's becoming such a huge market. I mean, and the, you know, there's lots of social political things, you know, associated with the whole marijuana thing that can be very bad, and I think Colorado and some of these other states are experiencing that. Unfortunately, part of the problem is the state and local governments are making so much money from taxes on these things that they're all for it. Most of them are all for it because they are making millions in revenue, like in the state of Colorado. I mean, it has millions in tax dollars because it's growing so fast.
Well, one of your largest providers in the state of Florida is supported and owned by Morgan & Morgan.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. So when it comes to contraindications, so if someone mentioned that, you know, can it be bad for you, it's mostly on the side of... taking it with medications, because it affects some of these receptors that medications do, it could be too much for the person. You know, like if they were taking an anti-anxiety medication and they took CBD that made them that even go more, it could make them depressed or some other kind of type problem. So it's usually associated with, if you're taking a medication already, then you have to be very careful. If you're not taking medications, much less incidence of a side effect.
Is there any research so far with a blood thinner taking it?
I am not aware of that, but blood thinners are so, you have to be so careful with blood thinners.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely give my patients that are on blood thinners any kind of herbal anything,
mm-hmm.
just because I always want to err on the side of caution,
mm-hmm.
because you could kill somebody, you know, in that way. So that one I'd have to research a little bit with the blood thinner part.
Yeah, my father has, he's on a Coumadin.
He had a stroke.
Yeah.
He had a stroke and constantly has, and he's been looking into it to get away from some of the medications.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know how that would go with some of the blood.
Yeah, that's one of the areas that I'd have to look into to see if it's safe for the blood thinners. And then the other area is immune suppression drugs. Right, some of these people that have autoimmune conditions that are on some kind of chemo or some drug that suppresses their immune system, because the CBD interfaces with the immune system, that may not be a good mix. So in those instances too. But again, it's usually someone's already on a medication, then you need to be careful about taking that stuff. It might not be the best thing. But the question I always have, because I was an engineer, is that why does somebody need CBD? Right? Whatever the condition, whatever it is, why do you need it? Because I'm always asking the why question. Medicine is always asking the what question, like, what's wrong with the person? And then once they know the what, a diagnosis, then they can give them a drug, right? Because that's how it works. That's how that's the standard of care. But my previous engineering brain is always asking the why question. Why does that person need that drug in the first place, right? And so, well, I think CBD can have a really good potential. And especially the more they research it, and they can figure out ways to test you to see if you're deficient in these things. Even then, the question is, then why are you deficient in the CBD?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's got to be a reason. And that's where my little chart comes in with the Does somebody have organ problems? You know, do they have a thyroid problem or an adrenal gland problem, or their digestive system's wrecked because they eat wheat and they're allergic to it and they don't even know it, you know, type thing, which would cause them to have all other kind of problems. And so, which it could cause pain, actually. Some people, a food allergy will cause pain in their body. And so instead of taking CBD, you just stop eating the food and your pain will go away, right? That's my mentality about the whole thing, is that I'm all for narrowing down the CBD and how it works and how best to use it in medicine, but we still need to know why we need it in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. And then, because there could be nutritional deficiencies too for a person, right? Mm-hmm. Like an older person deficient in B12 is going to have some neurological problems. They tend to be have more dementia. So just giving them CBD is not the best thing for them. You need to correct their B12 deficiency, and then they'll come back to life again. You know, so that's how I like to have people think, you know, is why is it happening in the first place? Mm-hmm. But someone mentioned the muscle testing, which is what I do. For most of you people know what that is. But that's what I've been using so far, just to tell me if somebody needs this stuff or not. Because some people with the chronic problems, we've done what we can do, as much as we can do maybe, and they don't want to have drugs. So I'll test people for the CBD and stuff and see if they really need it or not. And that's what I use. That's what I do, the muscle testing for the nutrition response testing, to see maybe that would be beneficial, maybe not. And at first, because I've been testing this for like 3 years, I thought it would be the end all be all for some folks, you know. But I realized it's not the cure all that they're making it out to be, you know, that the retailers are making it out to be. So it's one of those things where you just have to be wise, you know. Don't just buy what anybody tells you that's trying to sell you something, because it, like I said, it has huge potential for benefit. We just need more research to define the concentrations, to make it really safe, and then find a better system to say, yeah, you really do have a deficiency, and maybe it's a genetic thing, right? That's one thing they haven't done a whole lot yet, is are there genetic markers that you actually have a defect in that part of your body that you would benefit from CBD, and it changes your life, you know? I mean, that'd be an awesome application for it. But until they get that, I just haven't jumped on the bandwagon like everybody else has. But it does have benefit. I mean, one of our employees, she was in a car accident, and we were treating her, and she was getting some benefit, but still had this chronic neck and head thing going on that just had plateaued from the chiropractic. And so we tried the CBD with her, and within like 3 weeks, all of a sudden it was breaking. I mean, the pain was breaking, her headache was letting down, and hers was only, I think she got that out of like 20 milligrams. And so in her case, that's what she needed, you know, to get over the hump of that trauma. And so for certain applications, works great. Others, the verdict is still out, in my opinion.
So does that mean she'll have to take it forever, or just?
No, at some point then we try to wean off. Yeah, and usually once people stabilize and are not feeling much discomfort or pain, then you would, especially in that case because it was a trauma, then we try to wean off and see if she's fine after that. If not, then there might be some actual nerve damage that's helping the nerve tissue.
Mm-hmm. Is the CBD addictive?
It is not, because it doesn't have that psychoactive component that THC does. I've not found that to be the case. Some people might be addicted to how they feel on it because they feel better, but not the actual dependency part. Yeah.
The THC is the...
Yeah, that's the... that's
dependency building. Yeah. NIH did an interesting study with traumatic brain injury in football players,
mm-hmm.
and they found CBD to be very healing to the brain.
Yes.
It literally
mm-hmm.
healed
yep.
the
oh,
brain,
yeah. yep.
and they actually discovered that THC itself, THC has absolutely no medicinal purpose
mm-hmm.
whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Other than it is mood altering and can get you high and can sedate you.
Right.
THC can also cause your cognitive functioning to lose
go down.
A
yep.
percentage
mm-hmm.
of your
yep.
IQ.
Yep.
You know, if you use too much of it, and not to mention if you smoke it, you're adding 300
lots.
More carcinogens over a nicotine
yeah.
cigarette. So,
yeah.
you know, I mean, I'm really interested in the toxicity level. And unfortunately, because it's not regulated, because it is a Schedule 1, even though it may be legal in the States, because the federal government hasn't.
Correct. Right. Have
not
legalized
that.
It. Right.
Now, I've heard rumor that Trump may have a bill in front of them to change it out of that schedule, and if they do, then it's going to open up pathways to do massive research with these chemicals. But That's the scary thing about this right now. It's totally unregulated.
Yeah.
You have no idea what you're getting. You might think you're buying something and find out it is snake oil.
That's right, yeah.
So you don't know.
Yeah. And that's my caution in using it. And do you have a question?
Yeah. So you're talking about weaning off with chronic pain, but what about somebody with chronic anxiety, for example?
So, because the CBDs are regulators and they're meant to help the body stabilize, so there's a possibility that it could help things regulate to where they were normal. And as long as people's life is calm and they're not having something else that's triggering, you know, the anxiety, that it might level out. Because there's people that can come on and off anxiety medication, right? Because when things calm down and their life is good, then the brain calms down and they're good, right? So similar thing with the CBD. You could go on and off of it. And the great thing about it is, for the most part, depending on the pain, it may take a little longer to build up and have an effect. But for the anxiety and those kind of things, most people feel an effect pretty quickly, usually within 2 or 3 weeks. So it's got enough.
What about CBD for like severe menstrual pain?
It could affect that because it kind of generally affects the pain pathway, whether it's a shoulder pain or a menstrual pain. It could affect both because they work on a common pathway.
Can it help hernia discs?
It possibly could, again, on the same pathway type thing. Because the CBD does work on your nervous system, including the nerves that come from the spine, then it could potentially help that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of one of the areas they're trying to get more research on, is the chronic pain with people that either have disc problems or they've been in a bad car accident and they have nerve damage. You know, can it help regulate that some?
So back to the anxiety thing, like with the anxiety medications, when you do stop taking it, my anxiety has spiked. So do you think
so.
it's like kind of along the lines of with the CBD? Like if I feel all right and then I like wean off of it, do you think that it would spike again because of not being regulated?
It would not be as dramatic as the medication.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way that medication works in it, and it's much more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates this dependency, actually biochemical dependency in your body. That's why you have to slowly come down off of those because it'll wreck your system if you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, people have gone crazy trying to do that.
She
just mentioned an anti-anxiety medication that you know, if you took a CBD and it was doing good and you stopped it, would you go off the deep end? And that would not happen. Your anxiety might increase fairly rapidly, but you wouldn't get this like really bad side effects that some of these people have gotten before and end up in the hospital because they stopped their anti-anxiety medication abruptly. Yeah. Anything else?
Migraines. I've read on and off that it does help with migraines.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried it when I've had a migraine. It like kind of went away, but then because I didn't take it again the next day,
mm-hmm.
my migraine came back, and I've been having this migraine for like a week now.
Mm-hmm.
So is it still like along, because I haven't heard or seen so much research along with it with migraines, but it's like kind of there, because the main reason that why I'm looking into it is because of the anxiety, but also mainly my migraines.
So the migraines, depending on the type and where they're coming from, you know, if it's a biochemical one versus a mechanical problem in the neck or something.
I have optical migraines.
Yeah, so I'm not aware of using CBD as like to help stop the migraine, like before it gets rolling.
Yeah.
Probably more likely taking it on a regular basis might help slow them down or stop them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why some of the medications they give for that are, they want
yeah.
you to take it daily.
Every time.
Right?
Yeah.
So migraines are trickier. It's a lot different animal.
And like you said, you might think that it looks like this, but it could be this, meaning
mm-hmm.
like the B12 deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
There are antidepressants that can cause severe migraines.
Right, sure.
Zoloft is one of those that can cause a severe migraine if you are taking certain SSRIs.
That's right,
can
yep.
have that
mm-hmm.
severe reaction, and it says it right on the label as well as suicidal
yep.
thinking.
No.
Wait a minute, I'm taking it for suicidal thinking, and it's
going to
increase my suicidal thinking?
That's the downside.
Yes, it can.